We are moving along one more week after this in our series for the book of Philippians. I'm sure most of you probably have it memorized by now, right? Right? Because we've been in it for so long. I guess not. It's all right. I'm not disappointed. We are just looking at two verses this morning. We'll finish it off, not next week, but the week after. We're in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Paul speaking, he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." This is God's word. Join me in prayer. Father, open our hearts and minds this morning as we discern your word. Holy Spirit, flow through this place. Wake us up. Help us to be a people marked by your word, marked by wonderful virtues that you call us to live by as we shine like stars in the sky for your glory. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I just want to start this morning by reading kind of a bit of a statement from a charity, and I do have a point to this, of course, but I just want us to reflect and hear what this organization claims to be and do. It says, "Guided by the belief that every life has equal value, this foundation works to help all people lead healthy, productive lives. In developing countries, it focuses on improving people's health and giving them the chance to lift themselves out of hunger and extreme poverty. In the United States, it seeks to ensure that all people, especially those with the fewest resources, have access to the opportunities they need to succeed in school and life." This is the introductory sort of, as I kind of said, mission statement, purpose statement, if you will, of a charitable organization that, as soon as I mention the name, you guys will be like, "Oh, I know who they are." And it's, as you can hear, it is doing wonderful, good things throughout the world. This organization is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Of course, Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft and philanthropist, but a multi-billionaire because of all of the stuff that he has done through Microsoft. So this is an organization that he and his wife founded that is doing great and wonderful things in the world, and yet I assure you, it is an organization that has nothing to do with the church. Nothing. It is out there. It is experiencing and doing these great things, and it has nothing to do with the church. And quite frankly, it couldn't. It couldn't. Why? Well, because they, as individuals, have more resources and more of a focus on what they want to do than, quite frankly, the church could, or maybe even should, we could say. And this is not the only sort of thing or place in this world that is doing wonderful things in our culture, in this world around us, that have nothing to do with the church. Think of your favorite hockey player. Whether or not they are Christian, whether or not they are involved in a church, many of them are doing wonderful things to give to charities, to improve our communities. The Raptors just won the championship this past week. Woohoo! Right? Kyle Lowry, of course, the all-star guard who plays for the Raptors, has a wonderful foundation that is doing great things for those who are experiencing poverty especially in the inner city of Toronto and Philadelphia, because that's where he's from. What is my point? said I had a point. I promise I do have a point about this. There are many wonderful things that are, many virtuous things that we might say, that are happening in this world because of people in this world that are outside the church. And I point this out to us because this is, in some sense, what the Apostle Paul seems to be pointing at in these two verses, verses 8 and 9 here in Philippians chapter 4. This list that Paul is using here, especially in verse 8, is what we would call a virtue list. And these lists we find throughout the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus uses them in this very familiar passage that we call the Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, so on and so forth. Right? This is a virtue list that Jesus uses. Romans chapter 5, Paul uses another virtue list, verses 3 through 5. He does it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 as well, verses 3 through 10. Okay, so these are lists that pop up throughout the New Testament. These are virtue lists, that is, virtue being a good thing of how we should live as individuals in this world. What's unique about this one here in Philippians, is that it mirrors some of the ethical sort of lists that we see in Greek literature and some of the philosophies of Paul's day. It's almost as if he's pulling from the culture around him to show that there are good things that we can admire and admonish ourselves to in our culture, in the world around us. One commentator actually says this exact same thing on this passage. He says it's almost as if Paul had taken the current list from a textbook of ethical instructions and made it his own. Right? Just a regular textbook, regular instruction given to the world. Paul seems to have taken some of that and made it his own. These are the ideals that we hear of in philosophical giants such as Plato and Aristotle, right? They mirror much of what Paul is pointing at here. What Paul is sort of calling us to is reminding us by virtue of this, is that exact same thing that I've said, is that there are wonderful things in the culture around us that we can take, that we can learn from, that we can understand and at times apply to our lives. I mean, after all, Paul uses this word in the Greek over and over again that we translate as whatever. Whatever, in this context that Paul uses it in verse 8, means, you guessed it, whatever. Right? He says, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is right or just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is praiseworthy, right? All these things, Paul says, whatever they might be, he says, think about these things. Whatever is true, he says, this is a picture, a reminder to us that our culture around us points to and can understand, they can discern that there is an objective truth out there. And when they find it, we should praise them for it. We should think about that sort of things. Think about what in our culture points to this objective truth that God has put throughout the world. We should celebrate that. There's this saying that says all truth is God's truth. And that means all truth that we find even in the world is God's truth. The early church recognized this and would say it so. And so have other theologians since then. And even though sometimes our culture can find, or it's kind of jade the truth, twist it, things of that sort, they do come across it and we should celebrate it because it tells them that there is a truth out there. Paul says, whatever is noble, whatever is right, or whatever is just, Think about this. Whenever there's a wrong that happens in our society, a crime or something of that sort happens, when a wrong is made right through our often very flawed justice system, that is something we should cheer. We should want justice to, or we should seek that justice in this world and ultimately hope for it in the next as well. He says, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. I don't know about you. One of the first times that I ever got to see the beauty of mountains is when we came out here to Alberta for the first time. We took a drive down through Nordegg and had some ice cream right by Abraham Lake. It's just this beautiful, beautiful lake out kind of about an hour past Rocky Mountain House, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience. Breathtaking, a little cloudy, but just breathtaking to be able to see the beauty of those mountains around us. And then we also got to experience the crazy shifts in weather when we went to try to take a picture, and Cassie's hair is going whoosh right by her face as the wind starts ripping down the mountainside, and we get this flash of rain coming through. But this is the beauty of our world, the world that God has called us to care for and live in. And Paul says, whatever is lovely, whatever is beautiful, we should admire and think about these things. Finally, he says, whatever is excellent. All of us can appreciate a job well done, a job done to the best of our abilities. And this is Paul reminding us that we can appreciate excellence as it happens in our world and the culture around us. Now, you might be sitting here thinking to yourself, I know this is true. I can appreciate things in the culture, the world around me. That's not a big deal. But the thing is, we often don't live this way. We often don't live as if we appreciate the things in the world around us. We have this tendency to kind of become very cynical of the world around us, or we have this tendency to just conform ourselves to everything around us. Right? We become cynical, or we conform, and neither seems to be the picture that Paul is pointing to, though. Take, for instance, the example I gave in the opening, as we think of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, we might look at an organization, think to ourselves, oh, the only reason why they would do something like that is because, well, we just know that they are just so loaded. They have so much money, they might as well do something with it. Nice, right? That's a very cynical attitude towards that, right? Think about that. Or we might feel that they're just responding in this way because they feel guilty because they have so much money, in fact, excess. Might be true, who knows, but that's an awfully cynical attitude, don't you think? This is also sort of the attitude that causes us to withdraw from the world around us as well. Right? It's the attitude that tells us or that assumes that the world has nothing good to offer us, so therefore we'll just pull back and complain, whine and complain about politics and everything else going on. But Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. He says, whatever. What if we just simply sat back, recognized that there may be people out there willing or seeking to serve people because they are made in God's image and they may not recognize that, but they see that value. And so rather than being hyper-cynical, what if we just jumped on board and built relationships in the midst of that and didn't attribute motives to people that we don't know or don't even fully understand. Our second tendency, of course, is to conform to the virtues of this world. And that can be an issue as well. We look around at the world and we think everything that they're doing is just wonderful. And so we adopt it unchecked. One of the greatest examples of this that we have in our culture today is the common example of love. We embrace love so often in our culture as an emotional state of being rather than a biblically defined picture of service and sacrifice for one another. And there's no greater picture of this, of course, is the label that we often give of soulmate. This picture of soulmate is that we are two people who just come together, right? We just work. We just fit. And that is so far from the truth. But the biblical picture gives us this idea that we come together, we have to strive together, we have to scrimp at times, we have to sacrifice in order to make things work. We don't just fit together. If we have adopted this sort of assumption that we fit together, as soon as the gears start grinding, our tendency is to leave. We'll at least be tempted in that way to give up. See, here's the thing. As you may have guessed it, Paul is pointing at neither of these. Neither the idea that we need to conform to the world around us, to become hyper-cynical either. Right? We are not called to conform or to be cynical. Neither of them. See, at the end of verse 8, what does Paul say? He says, think about such things. In other words, Paul is calling us to be deeply contemplative of the world around us, to be thoughtful, to be incredibly thoughtful of the things that we see, that we hear all around us. And as we do that, he calls us to run everything through a filter. The question then becomes, what is that filter? That filter is the very thing that makes us in the church as Christians unique. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the filter by which we should dig in and observe and understand the world around us. The Apostle Paul says in verse 9, he says, whatever you have learned, whatever you have received, whatever you heard or seen in me, put into practice. This is gospel language. And probably the clearest single articulation of what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul says, I give to you of first importance what I have received. Christ died according to the Scriptures. Gospel language. You see, as the gospel as our filter, it reminds us that the world around us is not all bad. I mean, after all, Jesus entered into the world, became like us. Jesus died to redeem us and the world around us. He willingly went to the cross for our sake to redeem the world. It does say, however, that the world around us must be examined. We must think about it. We can't just let everything around us be absorbed unexamined. I mean, after all, Jesus did have to die for the world around us, for us, because sin so has saturated it. So in other words, we just don't accept everything we see and hear around us. We have to think about it and compare it as we consider it against God's word. But we don't write it off either. We don't write it off or withdraw or put ourselves above the world around us because Jesus put himself within it. And he entered it. And so should we. So what have you left in your life unfiltered? What have you just accepted in your life that you haven't ran through the filter that is Jesus Christ, the gospel? What have you blown off in this world and thought of it just simply as worldly and not worth your time? You see, just blowing something off is not really thinking about it either. And Paul calls us to do more than just that. So my challenge to you this morning is to let the gospel be your guide. Let Jesus always be the filter as you consider what it means to live a virtuous life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the person and work of your Son. The filter by which we discern, understand, and wisely navigate this world. Help us to conform ourselves more and more to him rather than just the world around us. But help us to see the virtue in the world and celebrate it. To call out that would be contrary to how God calls us to live. Not because we're uptight or religious or anything of that sort, Lord, but because the way you call us to live is better. So we thank you for that grace. Help us to be a shining light in this world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.